Wellness with More podcast, the podcast that discusses all mental health issues and wellness issues. We get different guests from around the world that share their amazing stories and journeys through difficult and challenging times. Welcome back to another episode of Wellness with Mo. Hi, my name is Mo, and this week we have Wendy Watson, a spiritual therapist and a public speaker and coach. She's going to, you know, take us through her amazing journey and tell us more about what is spiritual therapy, because I have no idea, of course. So, hi, Wendy, how are you?
Hi, I'm good. How are you? I'm fabulous. It's a gorgeous day over here in Colorado. Oh,
great, 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 great. We're here in Egypt. It's like 5:10 p.m. So the day is almost over. So we had quite a hot day today.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So Wendy, tell me more. I mean, definitely our listeners would like to know more about what is your story and how did you become this, a spiritual therapist. And what is a spiritual therapist? I don't know. I mean, I understand what's a therapist and what's spiritual, but the two together, yeah. I have no idea what they are.
Yeah, I get that a lot. They're like, what is that?
Yeah,
So my journey, you know, I am a child of divorce. My parents divorced when I was 8. That was very traumatizing for me and created a lot of anger and resentment. On top of that, my mom felt guilty, so she decided to spoil us. So let's add in being spoiled on top of being angry. And then both my parents married families that were toxic, that lied to and stole from each other, and it was just a mess. And so that led me into two of my own divorces with narcissistic men that were emotionally and psychologically abusive. And so after my second divorce and loss of a child, I really wanted to figure out, like, what am I doing? Why am I collecting these people? Why am I attracting these people? What are my habits? What are my emotions? And the more I got into that, the more I developed my spiritual relationship, right? And I love Deepak's definitions of religion versus spiritual. Religion is the community's relationship with God, whereas spirituality is your own individual relationship with God. Whatever that looks like for you, whether you believe in Ra or Vishnu or Freya or Jesus Christ or whatever it is, to me, it's all the same thing. So I honor and respect whatever that looks like for each individual person. But let's develop that relationship. Whatever you call your creator, whatever you call the ultimate source, universe, energy, spirit, whatever vocabulary you use, or even if it's just with yourself, like, let's find that relationship with yourself, with your own spirit, with your higher self and your inner wisdom. And I love teaching people that you can communicate with your higher self, and you can negotiate just like you would negotiate a contract with a business partner or in a intimate relationship of any kind. You can negotiate with yourself.
Okay.
You know, and just really developing that relationship so that you know what your mission is in this life, and so that you can make all your decisions based off your mission, based off your life path, so that you can be more fulfilled.
Okay. Yeah, I believe what you say about, you know, spirituality and religion. Myself, I'm a mindfulness coach, and my mentors are Indians, and of course they, as all Indians, they like to mix up the mystical stories of of Shiva and of all their gods and goddesses. And I'm a Muslim, a strong believer of that there's one God and only one God who created the whole world. And of course, I believe in all of the of God's creations and Jesus Christ, Moses, Abraham, and all of these. But that's my religion. But my spirituality, and this is the issue here in Egypt. People think spirituality and religion are the same, but I always tell them, no, no, spirituality is your relationship with your creator, with your God. I mean, you don't have to be religious to be spiritual, but you can be spiritual without being a religious person. It has nothing to do with what is the religion you're born into or you converted into or whatever. It's totally different. So I do understand where you come from, because people here in Egypt also think that, you know, meditating is a source of worship. And no, I tell them, no, meditation is a source of cleansingness. You cleanse your body from all the toxins and all your stresses and all your anxiety. It has nothing to do with the creator. And as long as I don't say any, you know, as long as I don't, I'm not, you know, saying any kind of,
I think it depends on the intention that you set for the meditation and what you plan on doing during the meditation.
Yeah.
Because I teach people meditations on how to cleanse themselves, but I also teach meditations on how to get in connection and be able to hear spirit and to be able to hear God so that you can communicate with them. And that's where the relationship comes in. So to me, I think meditation can be useful for a wide range of things. It's just what you set that intention, what you set that focus, and really that's what it comes down to. It's the intention and the focus. What do you want to get out of that meditation?
Yes,
do you
yes.
just want to be able to hear and feel your heartbeat and get in touch with your physical body? I've taught meditations on how to see your physical body separate from your spirit. And what does that look like for you?
All
right?
Right.
That's a very spiritual moment. But if you can do a meditation, you can also do a meditation to open up the mind and open up your channels in order to be able to connect, right? So I look at it like a conduit, right?
Okay.
We have there's a conduit that we have, kind of looks like a cord where we can connect with God, and that's how we communicate. And that's how we get, the stronger we build that conduit, the better and the faster we can communicate with God, right?
Exactly.
So
Exactly.
it's a matter of opening that up, and it's a matter of setting that intention for your meditation.
So you know, my podcast is always discusses about, you know, our unique journeys through life, and as I hear your story, I mean, you've been through a lot. I mean, I always say that if I were in your shoes, maybe I wouldn't be able to have, you know, come out of it with a positive outlook per se. I mean, so I always believe that our journeys shape us. So tell me, Wendy, how did your journey through divorces the divorce of your parents, through a toxic relationship in the families, and through your own divorces? So how that did that shape you to become who you are today?
So I remember trying to find ways to meditate during all that chaos. I didn't know that I was trying to meditate. All I knew is that I wanted to be in a dark room and I wanted it to be quiet. I just wanted to focus on my breath and just enjoy the quiet. And so looking back, it really kind of affirmed that I've always kind of been this way. I've always had these gifts. But it's taught me a lot of compassion. It's taught me a lot of not just sympathy, but empathy. And how can I serve those that are going through similar situations? Right? How can I use my experiences as a benefit to somebody else and to find strength in the vulnerability of being able to share my experiences so that somebody else doesn't feel alone? So that somebody else can feel like they can make it through just like I did. Right. And that's where the empowerment comes in.
Okay. So, spiritual therapist, I will ask you the question. What would I be complaining about when I want to go to you? I mean, what would be my good? Because the therapy or therapist usually is, you know, someone I'm seeking for professional opinion to help me and guide me through a tough time. I mean, so for a spiritual therapist, what am I looking for? Is it connection with God or is it connection with this? You know, I'm just asking this question because you're the first time person I meet, so I really and you know, I'm not being arrogant or anything. I do know a lot about cultures. I've been around the world, but I never, you know, knew about spiritual therapy. I've had people talk about chakras and about, you know, yoga and meditation and healing. So tell me what pain I would be in to come to you.
So I get clients that come to me with physical manifestations, right? So they've got chronic insomnia or chronic digestion, or they're experiencing chronic nightmares, right? They're experiencing something chronic where they're not able to resolve the issue through traditional treatments, whether it's through medicine or psychotherapy or the chiropractor or, you know, traditional methods, and it's just not working for them. And so they're ready to look outside the box, outside the normal protocols and the normal traditions to be able to find a deeper meaning as to what is the root of these problems. I get people that really just want to find a deeper sense of themselves. I've had a client come to me who's Catholic, and he's lost his connection with God, and so he wanted to get it back. So I get clients for why they come to me, but it's really people that want to improve their personal development, to improve their personal growth, to resolve the traumas, you know, the trauma of betrayal or the trauma of being abused in some way, shape, or form, and to be able to really get past those.
Okay, so if I tell you or if I share with you something very dark about me, it's not dark, but you were talking about dreams and nightmares. I don't have a nightmare per se, but I sometimes get a recurring dream so vivid in every area and it stays with me for at least a week or 10 days. Every time the dream is different, but the outcome is the same. I mean, so, I get afraid. I mean, I'm afraid of, you know, dying. So, and I know that death, is a fact, is 100% fact of life. I mean, there's no running away from it, but, I'm so afraid about dream that, you know, I keep on thinking how I can, you know, change whatever is going to happen in the future right now. So, I don't know if this is,
right. So
they've stopped. They've stopped. I mean, so, they've stopped for a while, but, sometimes they come again.
Right. So, there's a number of different ways I can take this, but fear is really comes from living in the future versus living in the present moment.
Okay.
right? And as far as dreams are concerned, dreams are messages. They're either there to teach you something or to tell you something, one way or the other, right? And I'll share this with you because it sounds very similar. I kept having, when I had a dog a few years ago, I kept having dreams that the dog was going to die, like different ways that the dog would die.
Yeah,
and at
exactly.
first it was
the same thing. Different versions of death.
So at first it was very unsettling.
Okay.
And then I learned about lucid dreaming. And lucid dreaming is where you can change the dream. So if you're dreaming about a monster, you know that you're dreaming, but you can change that monster into a butterfly.
Okay.
And now you have control over your dreams, right? So what I learned to do is, and here, this is the example that's coming to me, is I was having this dream and my dog and I were at the river and she fell in the water and she was being carried away and she was swimming in the opposite direction. And so in my dream, because she wasn't listening to me and I knew that she was on a path to dying, I put a sandbar, I installed a sandbar in the direction that she was swimming and then watched her climb up onto the sandbar and saw that she was safe. So now I'm changing the dreams in my mind because I have control over them. I know that I'm dreaming. This is not what I want. I'm choosing that this is not what I want to dream. And so I'm going to change the dream.
Okay. Okay.
Right. So there's that road that you could go down, or you could look at it like, what are you trying to tell me? What message are you giving me? Why is there a fear around being, if you have a strong relationship with your creator, with your source, and you know where you're going and you know what it looks like and what it feels like, then why is there a fear?
I understand what you say. So Wendy, tell me, what is the number one thing that people can do differently, or are facing challenges in 2024? I mean, you coach a lot of people, so what are the biggest challenges that you can tell me in 2024?
One is just being more positive. That is the biggest challenge, right? Our human race, no matter what country, no matter what gender you are, the human race is becoming very polarized.
It is.
And so there's a lot of room for improvement when it comes to being compassionate and kind and positive thinking and being grateful for what you have versus looking at the polarity or being like, I don't understand that person's point of view. Okay, well, why do you need to? Can you just be compassionate and understanding that they're allowed to have their own point of view and you're allowed to have yours?
Yeah.
Understand? Yeah. Why do you need to change somebody's mind? You know, just being in that acceptance and being in that compassion.
Yes. Yes. I agree. Where I come from, of course, in the Middle East, where we have this, you know, not me on a personal level, but we have this negative outlook of the West, in terms of, you know, different ideas, different cultures, religion. We have a different idea of the East, which is, you know, Asia, different ideas and so on. And we tend to judge this side or this side negatively. And I always tell them to understand, to have peace in the world, you need to understand people around the world. And this is why I love doing this podcast with people around the world, not just Egyptians, but also with people like yourself and other people around the world, to show that we are all the same. We are human beings. We're the same race. we have different ideas, different cultures, different religions, but we still, you know, we still are one person. I mean, you believe in something, I believe in something. That doesn't mean that I'm right and you're wrong, or you're right and I'm wrong. And it doesn't mean that I have to force my, you know, my biased opinion of my religion onto you, or vice versa. So
right.
This is why I always try and say, you know, even when I talk with, you know, Hindus and Buddhists and whoever, it's their belief. I like it. It's beautiful what they believe in, but it doesn't mean that I have to believe in it. And
nope.
You know, I don't
right. And it doesn't mean that they're wrong. If that's what works for them, who are
yeah.
you to judge? As
yes,
far as I'm
yes.
concerned, there's only one being that can judge.
Exactly.
And they're way the
yeah.
heck up there.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah,
have a
exactly.
right to judge.
Exactly.
I'm not that smart.
Yeah, yeah. We unfortunately, we even have it between ourselves in my country, in Egypt. I don't know about the other Middle Eastern countries. Within ourselves, we have the same, you know, biases. I mean, one person would say, I'm more religious than you are, but you're going to go, you know, to hell, and I'm going to go to heaven. How did you come up with that, you know, with that assumption, with that conclusion?
Yeah.
How do you know? I don't know. I personally don't know. I cannot say that I'm going to heaven or hell or whatever. It is.
How do you know that I'm not going to go to heaven or that I'm going to go? How do you know where I'm going? You are not part of my relation. And this is where the spirituality comes from,
yeah.
right?
Yes.
Or comes
Yeah.
in. Being
Yeah.
strong in your relationship with whoever your creator is or whoever your source is, right? And being like, how do you know I'm not going to go there? You're not involved in my relationship, right?
Exactly.
It's just
Exactly.
like the relationship between spouses.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course.
How do
Of
you,
course.
Why do you let a third person's opinion affect your relationship with your spouse when they're not involved in that relationship? They don't
Yes.
know all the conversations that have taken place, all the experiences, all the events, right, between those two people that are in that relationship. So
Yes.
leaving the third opinions out, or the outside opinions out, and just be in relationship.
Yes. Yes. I
Whether
totally,
it's
totally,
with your spouse, with your.
Yeah, I totally,
Go ahead.
I totally agree. I totally agree with you. And I believe that 99% of the problems of the world is lack of understanding between each other. It's a lack of understanding. It and it has nothing to do with the normal people of the world, you know. And I don't want to be too, I don't want to get into too politics in this area, but you know, we talk about human beings.
Yeah.
So I guess, you know, if I talk to the average American and explain to him that your point of view is respectful, and I show my point of view, I mean, I don't think there is an issue. It's just people misunderstand each other because of whatever, you know, media likes to throw at us, either from your side or from our side. It's media. It's their job. It's their job to give us the story that they want us to hear, and they want us to listen to. So it's their side. What I wanted to ask you is, I know that you work with a lot of, you know, entrepreneurs. I don't know if I'm correct. So what, how do you, what advice do you give aspiring entrepreneurs? Because, you know, a lot of people these days all want to become entrepreneurs.
Yes.
The new trend. And they really don't know, you know, the issues they're going to face. They just like the, you know, the name, the title that comes with it. So what advice would you give aspiring entrepreneurs to do when they want to start their, you know, venture, as they say?
Well, if they're just starting off, they need to have a lot of discipline.
Okay.
It
Yeah.
takes a lot of discipline to be an entrepreneur. You know, if you're working from home, And you can easily get distracted by the pets or the TV or the music or, going out for a walk or making sure you get to the gym or something. But if you really want to build a business, you have to be disciplined and on your computer and being able to define yourself and define your business and market and learn how to sell and, to close deals, all those things. Like there's just so much discipline and so many activities, but you also need to be educated so that you can hire the right vendors at the right time and, learn to know what you need to give up versus what you need to focus on or give up control of and hire somebody else for versus what you need to be doing because that's your passion, that's your mission, and that's what fulfills you. So if they're starting out, like that's number one. And even, seasoned entrepreneurs, right? I'm a seasoned entrepreneur starting a new business. So I'm kind of in this really unique space. But even seasoned entrepreneurs constantly need to get to know yourself so that you can communicate that to others. And so that you can stand in a room full of investors or full of leads and be able to communicate your business and your passion and your mission for whatever it is that you're trying to do with your business and feel strong in your confidence and feel strong in your relationship with yourself so that you can sell it to them, right? So that they'll want to buy in on it, so that they'll want to invest in it, right? If you're not strong in here, what makes somebody else want to spend money with you? What's going to make somebody
So,
else feel strong into what you're offering?
so, 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 I wanted to, add a point to what you're saying. I also believe that they need to be very resilient. They have to, the resilient, the skills of being a resilient person, it needs to, it needs
Yes.
to increase because of being an entrepreneur or a solopreneur like myself. I mean, I'm a solopreneur. I have my podcast. It's not a 9-to-5 business. Actually, it's more than that because, I do the invitation for yourself and other lovely guests, and I do the interview, and then I do the post-production, and then I do the social media marketing here and there, Instagram, LinkedIn, TikTok, Facebook, everywhere and anywhere, so that people can listen. I can get followers and audience. So yeah, it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work. It's not,
It's a lot of
I
work.
mean,
It's
I
not for
mean,
the faint-hearted
no,
by any
no, it is,
means.
it isn't, it isn't. And those
You
people who
can.
come and tell me that you are a free man. I mean, you can do whatever you want. You can wake up at noon. No, I don't wake up at noon. I wake up at 5 in the morning. to do my work. That's the entrepreneur mindset. I put myself on
If
an
you.
entrepreneur. Yeah, go ahead.
If you sleep until noon, you're not making money and you're not paying your bills and you're not able
No.
to be generous with other people. And to
Exactly.
your point, you really do have to be resilient because you have to, Facebook is one platform that you have to learn and has its own algorithm and its own marketing style. And emails have their own marketing style and their own platform. And LinkedIn has another one. So you need to be able to be flexible and resilient. And you can get like a month worth of, you can do all the marketing that you want and get a whole month worth of no's. And you're like, and then it starts affecting your confidence. And you're like, what am I doing? What do I need to adjust? Right? Why am I getting told no? And so you need to be resilient to be able to bounce back and be like, okay, what do I need to change? What do I need to adjust? Is it the vocabulary? Is it, am I not putting the passion behind my words? Is it just the wrong time of the month to be marketing, right? Because nobody buys in February, right? All of those considerations, you need to be able to be flexible and resilient. And yeah, a lot of people think that entrepreneurship, that you have freedom and you have all these things, which can be true, but a lot of entrepreneurs put in like 50 to 80 hours a week, not 40 hours a week.
Yeah. I mean, we talk about the mental health and wellness for the corporate employees, but in actual fact, where entrepreneurs are more stressed, more anxious,
yes,
might feel even burnout higher than normal employees, because at the end of
yes,
the day, if you are an employee, you're one person in a sea of other people, so you have a very limited role. You do it, if you do it, fine. If you don't do it, of course, it's not good for you in terms of performance. But an entrepreneur, you have to be the salesperson, you have to be the marketing person, you have to be the brand itself. You have to be, you have to be every place. And I would also add, people need mentors like yourself, someone to guide them, to tell them what. I mean, the idea of a mentor, it's only been recent, Wendy. It's when I was in university in the late 90s, and I entered the job market, there were no mentors. I mean, there's my parents.
Yeah.
I might take their advice, but that was the only, that was the only person that might give me an advice, maybe my uncle. But everyone, with all respect to my parents and to my uncle and to anyone, everyone would give their advice on based on their biases, not based on
that's right.
What skills that. So mentorship is really, really, really important. Don't you agree?
You know, I agree with you. I grew up in the 90s too. And I grew up in California. And I can't tell you how many jobs I lost for being abrasive. And I didn't know what that meant, but they wouldn't educate me. They wouldn't tell me what that meant. They wouldn't, right? They wouldn't train me. They wouldn't work with me. They would just be like, oh, you're too abrasive. We're going to move on to the next resume and just fill somebody else in with that spot. There was no mentorship. And I really think over the last, I don't know, 15 years or so, maybe 20 years, maybe since, the new millennia, people are starting to realize the importance around mentoring other people and giving them the skill sets and working with them instead of against each other.
Yes, yes, yes.
And for entrepreneurs, it's crucial that we have mentorship. You know,
it
that
is.
We have a marketing mentor, that we have a health and wellness mentor, that we have, all of these different people to help keep us balanced and keep us growing.
Okay. I have a dear friend of mine, and that's the source of the question. I have a dear friend of mine who's very passionate. She's very passionate about, wellness and the mental health of employees. And she has a business venture here in Egypt. And I've been telling her, and I'm a part of her expert pool, but I've been telling her, you need to have a very healthy balance between what's your passion and how to make money out of it. Because your passion is great, but if you don't make money out of it, then there is no point to lose all that energy in something you love that you don't know if it's going to get you your money or not. So what do you do to help clients, balance between the passion and their profitability of their ventures?
Yeah, that's right. That's the $1 million question.
Yeah.
Especially for people in the health and wellness industry. Inventors, right? Anybody that has a huge passion for what they do, we really need to help them to find that balance between, because health and wellness and inventors get so logged in of, I need to create this and I need to create this. And they get so locked in to that creative mode that they're not over here selling what they've created.
Yes.
Right? And the biggest, think the most common rule of thumb in business is to be doing 80% transactions and 20% creation.
Yeah.
Right? Whereas health and wellness people are in that 80% creation and 20% transaction.
Yeah.
So, right? It's getting them to, it's a challenge, but you really have to get them to balance their energy. Right? And I do a lot with energy work. Like you mentioned chakras and meridians and auras earlier, but we actually have 10 different energy systems to our bodies. And if our energies are not in alignment, then we're going to lean one more towards one way than the other. And so surrounding them with people that are more transaction forward, they're more transaction minded, will help to pull them over into that side of business, or at least help them with the transaction side of business. So if they really can't get out of that creative mode, can they hire a salesperson to do their transactions? Can they create an affiliate program or a licensee or some sort of program where other people can do the sales for them so that they're making the money and being able to be in the creative mode, right? So is it an energy shift? Is it a matter of bringing people into your world that'll do the things that you're not able to do, right? So hire somebody, right? Give them a commission for selling your products, or create an affiliate program to where they buy your product and then they go off and sell it.
I agree with you. I also think maybe because like her, like myself, we all believe that, you know, the wellness trend and the mental health trend after COVID-19 will pick up so bad, so huge in corporate that corporates will realize how important to invest in their employees' health and mentally and physically. But that didn't happen. I mean,
is in the U.S. It has increased in the U.S. So a lot of the U.S. corporations, some of the U.S. corporations are really starting. It's more of a slower growth versus, let's go from 0 to 100. It's more like, okay, 5%, 20%, right? And we're kind of slowly going into that realm, but there's a lot more U.S. corporations that are starting to see the benefit of bringing in mental health because I think that they're seeing that, by addressing the mental health, their employees are more productive and then they're making more money.
That's our argument here in Egypt also, that if you invest in your employees' health, then your growth, your revenue, your market share, and all those lovely statistics and numbers that they like always to share in every event, they will increase, and your employees will be happy, will be loyal. Turnover will be lower. So it's a win-win situation. I see it this way. But like we said, the passion and profitability. I agree with you that you need to outsource people to do the transactional part, the selling, the marketing, and you stay in the creative side of the business. This is what I think she should do, and I think this is what most people should do if they want to do their passion. For me, this is my problem.
Find a way to create an online workshop where people just buy it off your website.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. Okay, thank you, Wendy. And there's this lovely question I wanted always to ask you, what is one word or one sentence that describes Wendy Watson?
Oh, that describes me.
Yeah.
Open-minded.
Oh, that's cool. Have you been to Egypt before?
No, I w but in 2018 I went to Israel and I realized how close I was to Egypt and I was like, dang it, I just don't have the time to get down there. But it
Yeah.
is definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah,
I really want to go see, the pyramids, of course, and
course.
Valley of the Kings and, all of that amazing
Our new
amazing. I
museum,
do want to get out there. It's on my list.
our new museum is opening soon. The new Egyptian museum. We built a new Egyptian museum. It's very near to the pyramids, so it has all that historic essence around it. Yeah. So it will be an honor for me if you come and visit us in Egypt.
Yeah, I've
Not,
heard
I know
about the
not.
new museum and all the cool little tools and stuff that it's gonna have, and all the new stuff, and oh my gosh, yes, that's on my list. It will
So
be
on
one of
the
my next trips, I'm sure.
great. So one final question, Wendy. What's your dream? What do you want? What do you imagine you want to do in the next, few coming years?
My dream is, my mission in this life and my dream is just really to show that spirituality can be defined in an infinite number of ways, and that it's really just, open yourself up to the possibilities of whatever that looks like, and just spreading that word all over the globe and just, helping people with that. That's really my dream.
Okay, that's great. Wendy, thank you for your time. I mean, I was
Thank
really
you.
thrilled and I was really inspired by your lovely presence and your lovely talk. And
Oh, thank you.
I'm following you on LinkedIn, so keep up the good work. I mean, you're doing a lot of
Thank you.
amazing work. I believe so. And
Oh,
I hope you can
thank
come
you.
to Egypt soon, or I come to the States soon. I don't know. Whichever is the
Yes.
closest. We'll meet soon. Thank you, Andy, for your lovely time.
Yes, absolutely.
Thank you.
Thank you
Thank
for
you.
the
Thank
opportunity to be on here today and to speak to your
you.
audience. And
Thank
I
you.
really appreciate your energy and your spirit.
Oh, thank you. Thank you very much. He's so kind. Thank you very much.
Thank
Thank
you.
you. Thank you, Andy, for a lovely,
Thank you.
engaging episode. Thank you all for listening today on Wellness with Mo. Until next week, we have a new guest with a different kind of story. So stay tuned and be safe.